Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Well, it's been a busy week, and we have John Hancock and Michael Kelly here to talk about it, as usual, on this Saturday morning. Gentlemen, I hope you had a good week.
Good morning. It's good to be back with you guys.
Who's that?
There's somebody you don't see every day.
Yeah, no kidding. We did get your I will be at work notice, Michael, because we know that you're always on vacation and you just give us a notice when you're going to be here.
That's just not true, you guys.
Well, okay.
You like to give me, don't buy into John Hancock's fake news.
All right. Well, we've got a lot of real news to talk about, very serious news to talk about after the attack that took out Qasem Soleimani. And first, Michael Kelly, we haven't heard your take on this. What do you think of what was done, where we are, and where we're going?
I don't, to be honest with you, I don't know. I'm not a foreign policy expert. I do have some opinions, obviously, as most of us do. I personally am supportive of what the president did in taking that guy out. I think he was a complete, he was a bad human being, was a terrorist, and the president did that. What concerned me is knowing Donald Trump the way that we all have over the last 3 years, you have to question whether or not there is a plan. Earlier in this week, we saw the president go to the podium at the White House and give a speech, Brian, that wasn't Donald Trump. That was like somebody who had, invaded his body and gave a press conference that was not his verbiage, was not the way he talks. The head-scratching part to me here is that we kill the commander in Iraq from Iran. They wind up shooting missiles back at the United States base, and we don't respond? We're okay with that? I don't know. That's just a head-scratcher for me. Now, I'm grateful we've not headed to a world war. But when somebody attacks the United States, we declare that as, oh, well, now it's over with? That's a head-scratcher to me.
John Hancock, are you satisfied with where we stand right now?
Well, with where we stand now, this is only time's going to tell whether that was a good decision or not to take out General Soleimani. To date, it looks fine. You know, you'll remember 30-some years ago when Reagan launched a missile attack in Libya, Muammar Gaddafi retreated from the terrorism battlefield for many, many years. Well, that turned out to be a very good use of U.S. military force. Will this have the same impact? We don't know, sitting here today. Will it cause a massive escalation of tension and conflict in the Middle East? It could. And if that's the ultimate outcome, then it probably was not the wisest of decisions. But if it results in Iran thinking twice before, you know, going after Americans, then I would applaud the move.
Now, one of the concerns about Iran is that even if the country doesn't do something else, there are a lot of other actors out there under the umbrella of Iranian influence that might.
Clearly, they've got satellites all over. Certainly in the Middle East, they're very active in Syria. They're very active in Yemen. Hezbollah is a partnership that Iran has. They're a dangerous actor in the Middle East, but they were thus prior to this attack. And so, if you get a situation where the U.S. is taking casualties and our embassies are getting blown up, then, you know, that's going to be a very troubling day.
Well, and this has been the fear of most of the people on my side of the aisle. We all know the Middle East is a tinderbox. It has been for decades upon decades. The concern that Hillary Clinton said is a man who can be baited by a tweet could potentially be baited into a war. And we almost saw that. And the uncertainty of this president and the gut feeling that there's really no plan here, I think makes a lot of people nervous in a world that we know is changing daily in a Middle East that continues to be just a scary place.
And Michael, your thoughts on how this happened and the Democrats in particular complaining about not being notified of it, the Democrats in Congress, the Gang of Eight, et cetera, and then followed by the War Powers vote. And President, the administration said that we couldn't tell the Democrats for this reason and that reason and that reason. And then President Trump went at a rally and announced there that the imminent threat was against embassies.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, he didn't go to the Gang of Eight, which traditionally the administration does go to. Those are the eight most important people in Congress that help regulate the folks there at the administration. You couple that with the fact that the president's on the golf course and at Mar-a-Lago telling people, oh, something's going to happen, and he's telling Lindsey Graham. That's the instability that we're talking about as it relates to Donald Trump. Then they do have the briefing with the United States Senate and the Gang of Eight, and we have the Republicans coming out and saying this is the most flim-flam argument they've ever seen. They were disappointed in the intelligence that was given to them. It just continues to point to the concern of the instability of this human being and a lack of plan. And we're not talking about, you know, economy or 401ks. We're talking about life and death and war. That's scary. And anybody who's not scared that this man is leading us, I don't see where you're at.
And so, John, what do you think of the way the president handled this?
Well, the War Powers Act has been around for 40 years. It was a response to Vietnam. The Constitution is clear that only Congress can declare war. So the question over this becomes, was this use of U.S. military force something that should have been authorized by Congress under the War Powers Act, or was it the loophole or the caveat in the War Powers Act that it's something that's an imminent threat to the U.S., the president can act, you know, alone? That's where the administration is staking its flag. As a matter of principle, I generally believe that congressional authorization is better than not when the U.S. decides to flex its military might.
So you would like to have seen the president communicate more with Congress on this?
Yeah, it's, you know, Congress is so broken now, and the partisanship, and it's both sides. The partisanship is so bad. I do have an appreciation for Trump's sense that he would not have been able to keep this attack secret, you know.
What about Iraq? What's going to happen there? They, a portion of their leaders, anyway, want us out. Are we going to leave? And if we did, would that be a good thing?
I hope not. You know, we have lower troop levels now than we have in a long time. This is why I was not in favor of what happened in Syria, pulling the troops out. We're not nation building over there, but we are a stabilizing force. And if the U.S. pulls out of Iraq, Iran, there's no question they want to move in and take over. And they're in the process of trying to do that now. And Iran's trying to build this massive infrastructure in the Middle East that would be the most destabilizing thing imaginable. So I think having a smaller troop presence there, you know, maybe perhaps we think about Iraq and Afghanistan the way we now think about South Korea and Germany. Keeping a small troop presence there is important for maintaining the peace.
And Michael, your thoughts on the Iraq situation?
Well, yeah, I don't think we can leave Iraq. I think that the Iraq parliament is reacting to where their people are at. But the leadership of Iraq knows that they can't afford for the Americans to leave. And I don't think that will be the case.
And so now let's turn to impeachment. Apparently, Nancy Pelosi has sent a letter saying that next week be prepared to send over the articles of impeachment to the Senate.
Well, she's done that after some heavy pressure by some of the members of her own party in the opposite chamber from the United States Senate saying, hey, it's time for this to come over with. You know, Nancy Pelosi has been a guiding post for the Democratic Party throughout this process. And I have a hard time questioning whether or not her tactics were wrong or right. But one could point to the fact that John Bolton now is in the mix for potentially testifying in front of the United States Senate in this trial, and that wouldn't have happened had she sent those documents over early. And we continue to find out more evidence as it relates to Trump's call to the Ukraine and the actions of his administration that took place there around this Joe Biden investigation that I give Nancy Pelosi credit to what she's done, but it sounds as though it's coming to an end now.
And John Hancock, are you ready for the next step to be taken here?
I'm ready for it to be over. You know, Pelosi kind of put herself in an untenable position by simultaneously claiming that this matter was so urgent that they had to act without going to the courts and forcing these subpoenas, forcing Bolton to appear before the House, forcing Mick Mulvaney. It was so urgent that they couldn't take the time to do that and then adopt the position that she's going to hold on to the articles for some period of time. It was kind of an untenable political position to be in. It looks like it's now getting resolved. It'll go to the Senate. I think it will be dealt with rapidly, and we'll be moving on from there to a very exciting election season.
Should John Bolton testify, John?
If you're gonna do that, then, and I would like to have heard from John Bolton, but in the House, where the House is where you're supposed to have these witnesses, we've historically not had them in the Senate impeachment process. You know, that's a call for Mitch McConnell. Personally, I wouldn't mind hearing from John Bolton.
All right, John Hancock, Michael Kelly, thank you very much, gentlemen. Have a great week. It should be very interesting.
We'll see
you.
Right.
Talk to him next weekend. And coming up next, the news on Total Information AM.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.